This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, a wonderful Tuesday. We'll talk a little bit about media messaging, Democrat messaging, and scandals here. A $50 minimum wage. We'll make fun of Al Gore. Gonna do all kinds of emails. More Democrats are on vacation with your money. But first, we have to have, as hard as it may be, we have to have a moment of sorrow and mourning. Because, well, here's the headline from ABC News. Maybe you didn't see this because this only took place an hour ago. It was right before the show or so this came out. RFK Jr. had a little press conference. He announced his plans to phase out artificial food dyes in the United States of America. And maybe you're happy about this because you believe in being healthy and avoiding cancer. All my favorite foods have food dyes in them. All of them. I can't even imagine how much food dye they use in Waffle House. Skittles, they have food dyes. And it's like all food dye. I think it's just pure food dye. I don't even think there's any real food in there. So essentially, in an effort to make America healthy again, RFK Jr. destroyed my entire diet. No, I'll quit. All right, let's move on. It's probably a good thing in the end. I'm going to play you an interesting tidbit here. Remember, we talked last hour, and we've talked many times before, about how the communist relies on lies at all times. All times. He has to have them. He knows his plans are unpopular. He knows his plans are destructive. So you lie. That's it. You lie. And get ready because they are gearing up for a huge push on their newest lie. It's going to be about the border. It's going to be about illegals. Here's kind of the Democrat. I'm not even going to go off about the destruction of the country. We're just going to talk politically the Democrat kind of story arc when it comes to illegal immigration. Democrats have always loved immigration of all kinds because they hate the country. Really, they generally have for quite some time. And in general, when you import foreigners, they're going to vote Democrat. That's just kind of how it goes. Everyone's known this for quite a while. But after Obama kind of started this, but kind of didn't. See, Obama deported a bunch of people. He was actually known as the deporter in chief. But while he was deporting people, he was filling up the government with people who really, really hate America like he did. They wanted all the foreigners in here. So Barack Obama kind of authored a lot of this with the hirings he did with the people he brought in. Joe Biden gets elected, and we've never seen anything like it. They just started bringing people in. And remember, this was a scandal almost immediately. Almost immediately, the American people were mad about it. You probably forget because life's too busy and there are too many scandals. But it was not like there was a long lag time, a year or two. Very early, Joe Biden's poll numbers began to suffer over what he was doing at the border. Immediately opened it up. Immediately brought as many as he could. And from there, it was a steady, slow decline for 4 years. The fact that they opened up the border and brought in the imports made Democrats unpopular. And it was a huge reason they lost the election. Trump went out there and said, we're going to deport them all. Largest mass deportation in history. And he didn't back off of that rhetoric during the general election. Why? Because it was a winner. that was an election winner. That's what the American public wanted. So if you're Democrats, you have a bit of a situation on your hands, you see. And it is, it's quite a pickle. You know that your party, if you're not an America-hating communist yourself, you are at least aware enough to know that your party has been taken over by them. And that any border enforcement will be frowned upon by the base you need. You need their votes. You need their volunteer hours. You need their money. You need the support of open borders, America-hating savages, if you're going to be an elected Democrat in this country. You have to have those votes. But that's a really narrow portion of the population, you see. Because most Americans hate that. We'll set aside you and me. We're not even talking about you and me, which I'll call us the Republican base. We'll set us aside. Normies don't want open borders either. I've told you, I don't live, work, or worship around political people. All my friends are normies. They were all mad about illegal immigration. I had several Trump-hating suburban moms in my area. Their husbands are all hardcore righties, but they were always uncomfortable with Trump and his style and whatnot. And in fact, I've had arguments with them, multiple arguments with them about Trump during his first 4 years because they hated him so much. They hated him to the point many of them voted for Joe Biden after Donald Trump's first term. They all, to a woman, they voted for Donald Trump the second term, and illegal immigration was part of what grinded them down. They were mortified by it. Okay, so this is an election loser. When you lose those moms, it's a loser. But it actually gets worse for Democrats. It's a loser with black people, with urban black people. Black people was way too general. Most black people don't live in the ghetto, contrary to what you see on the news. But with urban black people who do, where do black people go in big cities? Around other black people. What kind of neighborhoods are those? It's always the poorest neighborhood. It's always the poor, crime-ridden neighborhoods. Everyone knows this. Well, if you're Eric Adams, we'll make about Eric Adams, but this is applicable to Boston, to everywhere, and you get an influx of 20,000, 30,000, 100,000 illegals, what do you do with them? That's a lot of people. You have to put them somewhere. Where do they go to school? Remember, they bring whole families now come. Where do they go to school? Where do they get their medical care? What neighborhood do you put them in? Well, like so many things in life, you treat different people differently depending on what they can do for you. When I was selling RVs, I was pretty good at it. And if Friday came around, let's say the boys had a big game they wanted to go to, or Ob wanted to go out to dinner or something like that, I had total freedom. I could walk into the general manager's office and say, hey, boss, I'm out of here at noon today. I got things I want to do. Look at the sales board. Got any issue with that? Every time. He'd say, Jesse, have a good one. Enjoy. See you tomorrow. The guy who wasn't making his quota every month, he doesn't get to knock off on Fridays. No. You go sit down. And in fact, you're closing the store tonight. You sit there and sell. Make phone calls. Politics works in the exact same way. Some guy like a Democrat mayor, he's got 100,000 illegals to put somewhere. He's not going to put them in the nice neighborhoods. Who do you think throws those big fundraisers for Democrats? Big fundraisers. Kind of fundraiser you show up to and then you don't have to have another one. That kind of fundraiser. Billionaires. Millionaires. People who live in fancy high-rises. Well, you're not getting that next fundraiser if you put 50,000 illegals in their neighborhood with their kids. So they did what always happens. They crapped on the poor neighborhoods. It's nothing new in history. Poor neighborhoods, the poor part of town gets crapped on. Always. Always. Always, always, always. They put all the illegals in the black neighborhoods. That's what Hakeem Jeffries is trying to juggle And that is what he's talking about right here.
Well, we definitely have to be clear that we believe that we should have a secure border. That's first and foremost. And I think we've repeatedly endeavored to make that clear throughout this Congress. We were slow to act as an administration and as a party on the southern border crisis. And it hurt us, not simply with traditional Republican voters or swing voters, but in some segments of our own base communities and in communities of color, including.
I'm going to play this last part, just the last 20 seconds for you again. To hear what he says? They opened up the border on purpose, brought in a bunch of rapists, drug dealers, and murderers who went on to rape and murder all kinds of Americans. But that's not his regret, you see. Opening up that border really hurt them with who?
Congress. We were slow to act as an administration and as a party on the southern border crisis. And it hurt us, not simply with traditional Republican voters or swing voters, but in some segments of our own base communities and in communities of color, including right here in New York.
Let's have a talk about that next.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. And I just cannot stop smiling about what is happening right now with the chaos inside the Democrat Party. Not only did they open up the border for 4 years, which is an unbelievably evil thing to do, but since that time, in fact, the last 2 or 3 weeks, what media story has dominated the news? The Maryland Man. CNN, MSNBC use Maryland Man live 506 times. But who is the Maryland Man, of course? The Maryland Man is the MS-13 gang member they're trying to bring back home. And this is not one Democrat. Oh, look, more Democrats have landed in El Salvador. A whole patch new of them. A whole new patch of them. They keep going down there trying to bring back illegals. But you see, the problems are not just for America. The problems are for the Democrat Party internally. When Joe Biden opened up the border, and 20 million people came into the country, they had to put them somewhere. And don't get me wrong, they put them all over the place. Rural America, too, all over the place. But the ones in the cities, they got shipped into the black neighborhoods, into the poor neighborhoods, because those are the people who don't have as much political power. How did it land? Well, maybe you remember during the Biden presidency, we would play these for you from time to time. This is a clip. This is from Chicago, right, Chris? Brandon Johnson, mayor of Chicago, communist mayor of Chicago. He was BJ. That's right, Chris, BJ. He was elected by the black people of Chicago, and he promptly rewarded those black people by taking all the illegals and putting them in black neighborhoods. Here's how the residents of those neighborhoods took the news.
You leave the Democratic Party. Do just like RFK Jr. Just do like that Tulsa lady. You better get up out the Democratic Party. Save yourself. Save your families. Save your dignity. Save your jobs and save your seat. Because if y'all don't, we coming for your seats. We ain't taking this no more. From a bunch of people
we got it, Chris. Jewish producer Chris went digging through the Joe Biden archives of that kind of stuff. Hey, Chris, how many clips roughly would you say you found in about 30 seconds of looking of old stuff like that? There's a list of them. Look, Chris said 20 just out of Chicago. We could just play for the next hour. Angry black Chicago residents chewing out Democrats. They're in our neighborhoods. They're in our... What are you doing? Now... think about the pickle Hakeem Jeffries has on his hands. Democrats in general, Democrat leadership, think about the pickle they're in. They want the border open. The rabid Democrat base, most of it, wants the border open. The beating heart of the Democrat Party, the rich liberal white woman, she wants the border open. But a critical constituency of the Democrat Party, the urban black vote, in fact, the black vote in general, they're tired of having that border open. What do you do? Well, they're going to try to lie. They're going to try to do the ultimate tightrope walk, the ultimate threading of the needle. Hakeem Jeffries got up and said something I read right between the lines. What he said was, oh, we're open borders. We're going to remain open borders, but we had better start lying more loudly about that because black people voted in record numbers for Donald Trump for a reason.
Well, we definitely have to be clear that we believe that we should have a secure border.
Of course, obviously, that's a lie. You know that. That's not what they believe at all. Remember, the Biden administration actually sued to make sure the border wall couldn't be built. And after he lost the election, they're so committed to open borders, they took the border wall materials and auctioned them off. Wasn't it on eBay, Chris? I think it was on eBay. It was some kind of government. Yeah, it was some government online auction, not eBay. I misspoke on that. But they actually auctioned off the materials. Democrats want the border open, period.
That's first and foremost. And I think we've repeatedly endeavored to make that clear throughout this Congress. We were slow to act as an administration and as a party on the southern border crisis. And it hurt us not simply with traditional Republican voters or swing voters, but in some segments of our own base communities and in communities of color, including right here in New York.
We were slow to act. Of course, it's the ultimate lie, but you can't be honest. That's the one thing he knows he can't be.
I think our reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction.
They weren't slow to act. They did act. They acted to open the border. They acted to bring in as many people as possible. They acted. They acted in the exact way they wanted. Now, because you can't come out and say that, now you kind of have to act like, a couple mistakes were made. Okay, someone spilled a glass of milk. There was an oopsie here. We just didn't get the paperwork turned in time. A lot of T's had to be crossed. I guess we missed one. Oopsie, our bad. We totally want to secure the border, though. I promise. We tried the best we could. There were just a couple snafus along the way. It's politically, it might be an impossible situation. It really might be for Democrats. How do you let your rabidly anti-American base know that you will continue to leave the border open while telling not just black people, I shouldn't have made it just about them, people in the black and Latino community, that you do intend to stop flooding their communities with foreigners? Very, very, very tough row to hoe. How about that? Nailed that one that time, Chris. You know what? You're going to have to get used to me getting words right a lot more, Chris, now that I'm Hillsdale educated. I like to tell people that. I brag to people about it now. I say, you didn't know that? You probably didn't go to Hillsdale College like I did. Now, granted, I didn't actually go to Hillsdale College, but I've taken Hillsdale classes, which is essentially the same thing. They offer them for free, not just for me, for you. More than 40 Hillsdale College courses are available for free for you, for listeners of the Jesse Kelly Show. When you go to hillsdale.edu/Jesse, there's no cost. You can go learn about capitalism, the Roman Republic, the Constitution. You can go be Hillsdale educated like I am. Maybe even use big words like I do. Is that... You want to hoe that row? What, Chris? I think, does that work? It does. It did work. I knew it. See, it's Hillsdale, Chris. I can't take credit. It's Hillsdale. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse
USA!
Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Do not forget, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All emails are welcome. Love, hate, death threats. Ask Dr. Jesse questions. In fact, let's do some emails, shall we? Hey, Jesse. The subject of this one is Amazon. Should I buy from them? You're always telling us to put our money where our morals are, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are about Amazon as a company and online shopping becoming so popular. I try to buy local whenever I can, but brick-and-mortar establishments are dying around me. And it's so much easier to purchase online. I hate it. What are your thoughts?
Well, I can't be a liar and I can't be a hypocrite. Now, can I?
Well, actually, I am a hypocrite. That's what I'm about to tell you about.
I do believe in putting your money where your morals are. And we have taken many steps in the Kelly household to do this. And I've talked to you about what those are. And every time I can think of it, I talk to you about what those are. We will not go see this movie by this. We don't shop at Target anymore. We used to go to Target. That's where we did all our back-to-school shopping. Ever since they went full-blown LGBTQ demon mob, we don't. So we do it, right? And I've told you before, and I believe this, in buying local whenever possible. I don't even like to go to Lowe's or Home Depot. No, I've gone. Don't get me wrong. I've gone, but if I can, I try to stick with Ace. It's about as local a hardware shop as you can get. I know it's national, but you get what I mean. It's kind of locally owned. It's run differently. I believe in local. When I go Christmas shopping for Rob, remember last time I went to a local shop, local. So I do believe in it. And Amazon is a terrible company. And I shop there. Now, let me clarify. Not often. We try not to because it is a terrible company. But look, you just mentioned it. Sometimes it's just so not only convenient, it's just I have to have what I have to have now in a certain situation. I'm trying to think of the last time I was in a situation that I had to have something like this. I think it was batteries. We weren't at my house. We were out at a buddy's house. We had run out of batteries. We were doing some things, and there was a bunch of families there. We had to have batteries. Well, Amazon in my area, they could deliver the batteries in 3 hours, and they did. We used it. I'm not proud of it. I tried to avoid it, but sometimes it can't be avoided. And remember, when it comes to putting your money where your morals are, you cannot be perfect. Nobody is. So don't beat yourself up over it. You can make an effort, and you should make an effort. Do not beat yourself up over it. Good luck trying to remove all the clothing in your home that isn't made in the United States of America, or all the things that are there. Or good luck trying. You know what? Here's a good luck thing. You in the market for a car? Or when was the last time you were in a market for your car? What brand did you buy? I don't care what it is. Ford, Chevy, Hyundai, I don't care what it is. Mercedes, doesn't matter to me. Go look up the brand of the car you just bought in Pride Month. Yeah, it's all of them. There's no way to be perfect when it comes to putting your money where your morals are. That brings me perfectly to this before I move on to making fun of Al Gore and a couple other quick things. I have a complaint, and I feel like it's a very valid complaint. I haven't actually voiced it to Chris and the fellas yet, but I feel like it's a valid complaint. You go to a restaurant. Let's say it's not Houston in the summertime, okay? Maybe it's Houston in the winter. Maybe it's New York or Montana or Oregon or Nebraska or wherever you are. And it's not the middle of summertime. What do you have with you when you walk in the restaurant? You have a coat. You have a coat. And in fact, not only do you have a coat, depending on where you are, you might have a hat, scarf, gloves. If you're going out at night in Montana when it's 20 below zero, oh, you've got more than just a coat, bud. You probably have a neck warmer. And like it's a lot. You have gear on you when you walk into a restaurant. Where are the coat racks? And I know, you don't have to send me an email. I know that some restaurants have a coat rack. I was in this fancy one last time I was in New York City that had a coat check in the restaurant. I know, Chris, it was cool. That had a coat check. I'm not demanding a coat check here. I'm not the Monopoly guy, but you can't throw a rack by the front door for me to throw my coat on? And I say this because everybody's coat, everyone's in the restaurant when you walk in, They're all in the way. They're draped over the seats. They're falling on the floor. The gloves are falling out. When you walk to the bathroom, you're having to navigate between the chairs and the tables. I've got to, sorry about your coat. Hold on, honey, can you put my gloves in your purse? Why is there not, why are coat racks not a thing anymore? I don't understand the lack of coat racks in this world. It doesn't make sense. What, Chris? Chris said, be the change you want to be in the world. Open your own restaurant. You think I'm gonna open my own restaurant just to put a coat rack in there, Chris? No, it's easier to criticize others than to do things yourself. It's like I always tell my kids, don't take any chances. Don't try to be anything. All you need to do is criticize others. That's the real key to success. Also, don't be Al Gore.
And I understand very well why it is wrong to compare Adolf Hitler's Third Reich to any other movement. It was uniquely evil, full stop. I get it. But there are important lessons from the history of that emergent evil, and here is one that I regard as essential. That the first step in that nation's descent into hell was, and I quote, the conversion of all questions of truth into questions of power. He described how the Nazis, and I quote again, attacked the very heart of the distinction between true and false, end quote. The Trump administration is insisting on trying to create their own preferred version of reality.
One more time with this one on today's show, possibly not the last.
I think our reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction.
Why do they love the Nazi comparison so much? It's ridiculous, of course. Well, there's a bunch of different reasons. One of the reasons is it puts you on the defensive. You feel like you have to defend yourself. I'm not a Nazi. What? The second you're playing defense, you're not playing offense. So that's one of the advantages. But probably their main advantage is it gives their people a moral license to do the worst things in the world to you and go to sleep at night. 100% sure they're the good guys. 100% sure. You know, all those people firebombing and keying Teslas across the country, I know that's a horrible thing to do. I hate it. I hope you hate it. But you want to hear the most bonkers thing about it? Every one of those people, they think they're the good guy. The person who pulls up to a Tesla, walks out with keys in their hands, and walks up to the paint job and puts a multi-$1,000 damage bill on a Tesla owner they don't even know, and then gets back in their car and drives away. I know it's wild to think it. That person drives away feeling like they just conquered evil. And that is why Democrats have labeled you a Nazi for years and years and years and years and years. Because as I've said so many times before, what can't you do to Hitler? You can do anything to Hitler. You have a moral license to do anything to Hitler. He's Hitler, after all. So that's why they use that rhetoric on you. That's Al Gore giving permission to the street communists to hurt you. That's what that is. Let's move on. Maybe do some more emails and stuff. I was enjoying that. Before we do that, wouldn't it be nice when you're hiring somebody new for your company, if you could just, I don't know, meet them first? I don't, 5-10 minutes, just maybe a quick introduction, because people can be discounted and dismissed pretty quickly. You've got a pretty good radar, right? Well, ZipRecruiter, they have something called Zip Intro, and you can try it for free. Here's what it is. You post your job today. Let's say you log in right now, ziprecruiter.com/Jesse, you post your job. Tomorrow, you'll have candidates lined up. Well, Zip Intro, they'll line up back-to-back video calls. You check in, 5 minutes, get to know you. Immediately dump the ones you don't want, narrowing down the field, making hiring easier. Try it for free at ziprecruiter.com/Jesse. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, a wonderful Tuesday. Let's do some emails, shall we? Howdy, Chris and company. This guy says, oh, this the subject of this one is Jewish conspiracy theory. Oh, Chris, looking at you, pal. What? I'm just saying. I brought home a baby girl last week, and like I assume all new dads do, I'm bringing history documentaries on my night shifts. I just finished up one about the political rise of Hitler. That was fascinating. Although the documentary itself was clearly woke, he kept comparing the Berghoff to Mar-a-Lago, whatever. Haven't been able to wrap my head around his hatred of the Jews and that he mentioned he believed in Jewish conspiracy theory, which evidently was widely accepted at the start of the 20th century. I don't understand it. I need a community college breakdown of this topic that I've never heard of. Help me, Oracle. Jewish conspiracy theory. What? Jewish theory, Jewish conspiracy theory. I've heard this forever. It essentially comes down to this basic way of thinking, that Jews control the world, that they are in control of the media, of the education system, of the finance system. And it's not one country or the other. That Jews, that the basis around the theory is that Jews have, through their wily ways, put each other in critical positions of power in every country across the planet. And this is some gigantic, nefarious Jewish cabal that works exclusively on behalf of, look, I'm not an expert on it. I don't subscribe to the whole thing, but that's, and generally what it means is that Jews control the world, they control it all, and they're using everything and manipulating everything for their specific purposes. I'm not going to go into the whole thing because it's not my thing, but I will tell you, you mentioned it being widely accepted early on in the 20th century. Remember this part of it, because this part of it is a huge part of what got a lot of people to buy in. And do keep in mind, pause for a second. Yes, I know the Nazis took over Germany. And I know there were all kinds of people who hated Jews and all kinds of people who still do hate Jews, right? I get that. I'm not naive. But don't look back on the past and always believe the headlines on how bad everything was. I've brought up this before with women. Women will do this. Well, women were second-class citizens in America. No, they weren't. That's a lie. It's never been that way. No, they were not. Absolutely not. Women have been treated wonderfully in this country historically compared to other countries. That's not true. Well, everyone hated Jews back then. We had a Nazi party, the German-American Bund is what it was called. The German-American Bund, I'm pretty sure I'm saying that right, the Bund. We had Nazis try to rise here in America the same time Hitler was rising up. They had a big old event, you can go look this up, in Madison Square Garden. The protesters outside of it outnumbered the Nazis inside of it, and they tried to beat them all to death. It's not like it was widespread. Yeah, we all hate Jews. I hate Jews, and you hate Jews. Everyone hates Jews. But if you... Oh, hold on. I think it's a mosquito. Hold on, I need a second. Chris, did you see that? I think that was... You couldn't see that? It was the size of a pterodactyl. Good thing I scared him off. What? I had to send him... I wasn't trying to kill him with the first couple slaps. I was trying to send a message. If you kill him, then he can't bring the message back to his friends, Chris. Back to what we were saying. That's another conspiracy theory of Chris's. Anyway, remember that there is a long-standing church tradition in certain parts of the church against usury, lending money for interest. There is a long-standing objection to that. In Europe at this time, yes, there were a lot of Jewish people in banking, and they didn't have any objections to loaning that out. Now, that in and of itself is not bad. It's sending out a loan for interest. I have loans with interest. I'm sure if you've ever taken out, you have a loan with interest, right? So I'm not speaking against that specifically. But what else took place in the early 20th century? a global economic collapse. A global economic collapse. There's no other way to put it. Not long after World War I, everything just kind of went kaput. The Great Depression wasn't an American thing. It was a global thing. Well, people were having their homes taken away. Who comes to take your home? The bank that's holding the home loan. What if me, well, let's say Jewish producer Chris isn't Jewish. What if it's me, Chris, and Corey, and we all show up at the studio one day, and we all lost our homes? We all got a foreclosure notice. Dang, I got a notice. Did you get a notice? I got a notice, too. Hey, Corey, was it a Jewish banker? Yours was, too? Hey, mine was, too. Chris, was yours a... Wait a minute. Jewish bankers are taking our homes. I'm not defending the theory, but things like that helped pour fuel on the flames that the Jews are controlling everything. They own everything, and they run the entire world. And this is not a theory that's somehow fallen out. In fact, I would argue in recent years, it has increased. It's increased. Chris said Kanye. It's actually a good example. Kanye is probably the biggest, most famous one, that rapper Kanye West. He just flat out posts like, I love Hitler and stuff like that. He said it. I think he went on Alex Jones's show and said it. Poor Alex Jones looked like he wanted to die. Yeah, I think he actually used those words. I love Hitler. There is, what's old is new again, okay? Don't think that that stuff ever goes away. It will never, has never. It's not humanly possible. But that's what it is, the whole Jewish conspiracy theory thing. All right. So... Do you remember Barbara Lee? Barbara Lee was a California congresswoman. And then she ran for Senate in California. She didn't do very well running for Senate in California because Californians wanted to reward Adam Schiff for his Donald Trump takedowns. So Barbara Lee found herself without a spot in Congress and without a spot in the Senate. Where does she go from here? Well, she found a soft spot to land, if you will. Let's talk about that next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.